Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that from that word this morning you may speak to us, encourage us and challenge us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I don't know anyone who doesn't want or need encouragement. I think that applies in every walk of life. Marge and I walk around Kenny Res most mornings, and we meet an old man who's 96, and he's still a minister in the Uniting Church and still ministering. Be great to think that at that age you still had the ability to do those things. I long for it. Should live that long. Well, his family collect him from Strathaven, where he's a resident, and take him to Melbourne every so often. And down in Melbourne, he worships as an Anglican. He's getting there. It's taken a while. But when he returns, he never fails to tell us about the wonderful church where his family worships and he worships at St. Alfred's in Blackburn. And last time he said to Marjorie and I, his grandchildren had been baptised. And he said, you know, the church was packed with young people. This was at night. And he said, it holds about 350 or more. And he said, there wasn't a seat anywhere. And he was really, you know, so excited about what had happened, what had taken place in this church. And he encouraged me. I mean, it is really great when people encourage you. It's always encouraging to hear of churches doing well. And, of course, there's a lot that aren't. And especially in some of our more rural areas where the population's diminishing and where things are really tough. And we need to always want to encourage them. And when we go around, I'm sure that for George and others like myself who go around, we want to encourage them for just being there and witnessing to our Lord. Well, often when we think about Jesus and his followers, we kind of limit ourselves a little bit, I think, to thinking about the 12 apostles. But in our reading from Luke today, we hear of 72 others who are also followers of Jesus. And if we were to look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 after the resurrection of Jesus, we would see that there were 150 who were gathered in that upper room. So we see that although there was a small inner group who Jesus prayerfully selected, there was also a much larger group who were his disciples. And as Christians, we should be encouraged when we hear of churches and congregations who follow Jesus, regardless of their numbers. But let's look at Luke 10. And I don't know how much we'll get through, but we'll see how we go. You might like to follow that in your Bibles. The sending out of the 72 in pairs indicates that Jesus was in for a very busy time, as they were to go to the towns and the places where he was to go. And this fits in with his comments, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, indicating that there was much for them to do, and they weren't to delay. In bygone years, the church used to have what was called Ember Days. Can anybody remember that, Ember Days? Ember Days, yes. And in those days, there would be a time of prayer, and especially for the increase in those offering for ministry. Now, even though we don't have those days anymore, that ought to be one of the priorities that we have in our prayer, to be praying that God will raise up people for ministry. He will raise up and increase the workers who are meant to go into the harvest field. So if you're not in the habit of praying for an increase in ministry, can I ask you, to make that important in your daily prayer times. Well, Jesus gives clear instruction to these 72. In doing so, he reminds them that they have no easy task. And can I suggest that any worker for the Lord who thinks that the task of ministry is easy is making a grave mistake. Why? Because the world makes sure that it's not easy. For this reason, there needs to be a dependence upon the Lord. For if they're seeking to minister in their own strength, then they will achieve very little. They were to go as they were. Don't go home. Don't get a bag. Don't get a change of undies. Go as you are. They were not to take their credit cards or money. They were not to stop and chatter to people along the way. There was an urgency here. They were not to get sidetracked. Well, we don't have that problem, do we? We get in our tin and glass bubbles and drive to church. You know, how many of you spoke to someone along the way this morning? That wasn't because you wanted to be sidetracked, it was because you were running late. But, not really. But, you see, we don't have that opportunity, do we? It's easy to get sidetracked in the Lord's business, I don't know about you, but I find it easy sometimes to get sidetracked when I should be about the Lord's business. We're given instructions. They were given instructions about where to stay, not to be fussy when it came to what it is that they were to eat and drink. That was in verses 8 and 9. And that's because they were going into some areas that were of the Gentile world. And of course the Jews and the Gentiles ate different foods, and so they were not allowed to be an impediment to what it was that they were doing. And they were not to feel bad about being accommodated, because the worker deserves their wages. Well, Jesus indicates to the 72 that there will be times of acceptance and times of rejection in the towns that they will enter. One of their tasks was to heal the sick and tell them, and those who heard them, that the kingdom of God is near you. Here is an important message, and one that should be acted upon. This was their day of opportunity. The old saying, opportunity only knocks once, is pretty true. And I'm sure that for many of us, we remember times when we've missed opportunities, but other times when we've taken advantage of that opportunity that was there. Well, here was an opportunity for the people in these towns and villages to respond to the message concerning the kingdom of God. In the 1960s, Billy Graham visited Australia, and thousands of people gathered in cities to hear this messenger of God, this great evangelist who preached so passionately that people responded to the invitation to the Lord Jesus and to his kingdom. Was anybody here affected by that time? Billy Graham's... Okay, still a couple. I have to tell you, I was only young and I was hearing him on the wireless, and he so disturbed me that I had to turn it off. I couldn't listen to it, because the life I was living and what I was hearing, I couldn't reconcile. And so when I was a young bloke, I turned it off and chose to go a different way. Opportunity sometimes does knock twice. And then, of course, here in Bendigo, the Bill Newman Crusade. And a lot of us were involved with both of those. There were two of them. A lot of us were involved in both of those. And people responded to that message. Some people, of course, didn't respond to that message and chose a different way. This wouldn't be news to Jesus. He already knew that there would be towns and villages that would reject the preacher's and the message. And in rejecting the message that the kingdom of God is near, they're making a choice that they want no part in the things of God. And that will be very clear to them on the day of judgment. For many people, they feel hurt and consider themselves a failure when people don't respond or even reject their message. Now, you might be one of those people who feel hurt and feel that people haven't taken any notice of you. But remember, it's not you who is being rejected. It's the Lord, and you are only his messenger. As if to highlight what he's been saying, Jesus looks back to Tyre and Sidon, and to Sodom, a town destroyed because of their failure to repent. It would seem that Jesus had done miraculous things in Chorazin and Bethsaida, that he'd been there and performed miracles. Had they been done in Tyre and Sidon, Jesus says that they would have been brought to repentance. Jesus names Chorazin, Bethsaida and Capernaum and saying that there was no hope for them at the day of judgment. Hard words, aren't they? To be told that there's no hope. The seriousness of rejecting Jesus cannot be underestimated. To reject the Son of God has dire consequences. People reject Jesus at the peril of their missing out on the eternal salvation that Jesus came to give. Those who Jesus authorizes as messengers are sent out by him, are given his authority. For that reason, when they speak with his authority. Those of us who have been authorized as messengers have been given a great responsibility. To reject the messenger has wide ramifications, as it means that Jesus is rejected, as is the one who sent him, the Son of God, God the Father. In verse 17, we see the messengers return and report, and it's obvious that they are full of joy. They are excited. But how does all of this end? It ends by Jesus telling them what he saw. Verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It ends by Jesus telling them of the power and authority that he has given them. Verse 19, I have given you authority, and he goes on to list what that is. It ends by Jesus telling them that although all of this is good, what they need to do is to rejoice that their names are written in heaven, or the book of life as referred to in Revelation 20. In this life we might have some successes and some failures as we do the Lord's work. We might have our times of disappointments and our times of elation and joy. However, in the final countdown, the most important thing is whether or not we have heard and accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord, and that our names are written in the book of life. If we have accepted Jesus' death and resurrection and responded to him, then we will and do have, even now, eternal life. But to reject him and not to have our names in the book of life means that we will be thrown into the lake of fire. In this passage from Luke, the seriousness of not responding to the message of the kingdom is clear. What response have you made to the message of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the challenge that comes from it. We recognize the dire consequences of failing to respond to your word, failing to respond to you. Lord, we pray for those who proclaim your name, who proclaim your word. We pray that you would give them good success. And even here this morning, dear Lord, we pray that if there is anyone who is uncertain about their relationship with you and their future, we pray that they might open their hearts and their lives to you today and accept you as Lord and Saviour and avoid the consequences of failing to do so. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.